In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. I'm looking at the 9th chapter of St. Matthew, and we're going to go backwards today, but we're going to start with the 9th chapter, the 9th verse. And as Jesus passed forth from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's place. And he said unto him, "Follow me." And Matthew arose and followed Jesus. There was no one hated more than the tax collector who was a Jew working for the Romans. He was a Jew working for the Romans. There was nobody hated more. He would be totally hated by the people because he betrayed his own people. And so Jesus just looks at him and says, "Come and follow me." And he leaves the tax collector booth and immediately follows Jesus. Let's see what happens next. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at dinner in the house, this is Matthew's house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. This is so beautiful because, you see, Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. Today you might feel lost. You're not even going to think that you want to live. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ came to seek and save you in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your darkness, in the midst of your temptation. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Please, please trust the Lord. Don't take matters in your own hands. Trust the Lord. Trust Him because He will help you through this, honest. And I know how dark it seems. How dark it seems. Will it ever be light again? The devil tells you it'll never be light again. I tell you he's a liar. For to those who love God and are called to His purpose, all things work together for the good. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat down at dinner in the house of Matthew, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Now we're going to have the holy people. We're going to have the Pharisees, you know. And they're going to be very upset. When the Pharisees saw it, saw what? That the house was filled with sinners, publicans, tax collectors. Why do you eat with your master, with publicans and sinners? Oh yes, the religious people are the judging people. The religious people, why are you eating with tax collectors and sinners? Don't you know that your man, Jesus, is supposed to be a holy man, and there he is. He's eating with tax collectors and sinners. But listen. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, "They that are whole do not need a doctor, but they that are sick need a physician." I tell you that Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. And I tell you, the holy people, the Pharisees, you know, they couldn't see beyond their nose. He's eating with sinners, tax collectors, and publicans. He must be one of them. I'm telling you, he rescued Matthew, and now Matthew wants to rescue his friends. Isn't it wonderful when you bring sinners to Jesus? Isn't it wonderful when you bring people that have nothing to do with God or the church to Jesus? Isn't it wonderful that tax collectors and prostitutes come to Jesus? Isn't it wonderful? Because that's why he came, to seek and save the lost. Let me tell you, my friends, do not judge of what you see. Do not judge of what you see. What you see is only what you see. Don't believe half of what you see and all of what you hear. Don't believe it. If people are wagging their tongues, spreading gossip, don't believe it. They have nothing better to do but to spread gossip. I tell you that Jesus Christ sat at table in the house of Matthew with publicans and sinners, tax collectors, and people who nobody else wanted, but Jesus wanted them. Jesus wants you. Jesus wants you. He doesn't see that you're hopeless. He sees that you're helpless, and there's a big difference between being hopeless and helpless. The devil will tell you that you're hopeless and you're going to be suffering for the rest of your life. End your life today. I'm telling you, the devil is a liar. Don't listen to him. He's a rotten liar. Don't listen to him today. Listen to God. Listen to Jesus, that he comes to eat with tax collectors and sinners. He comes to be with us, to be with people that need a Savior. Today, do you need a Savior? Then Jesus is for you. He came to seek and save that which was lost. Okay, that is the eighth chapter of St. Matthew, starting with the eighth verse. I should say the ninth chapter of St. Matthew, starting with the eighth verse. I'm going now to the eighth chapter of St. Matthew. When Jesus came down from the mountain, that's after he spoke the Sermon on the Mount, great multitudes followed him. Great multitudes. Why? Because Jesus Christ not only spoke, but he spoke with authority and he healed the sick. And behold, there came a leper, and the leper bowed down before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. The leper says, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched the leper, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately he was cleansed from his leprosy. You see, leprosy was not only a physical problem, but it caused you to be part of a community and not part of the community. You had to go alone in a community of lepers. You had to ring a bell and say, lepers, lepers. They were the most disgraced of all people, and it wasn't even their fault. If you will, you can heal me. That's what the leper said, if you will. Jesus said, I will. There is not one person who came to Jesus that he didn't heal. There is not one person that came to Jesus that he didn't heal. If they came to him, even by touching the hem of his garment, they were healed. Jesus Christ is a healer. He comes to heal the sick. He comes to save that which was lost. He comes to seek and save that which nobody else wants, because he has a plan for you, a plan for your life. Do you know that Jesus the Lord is the man with the plan? Jesus the Lord is the man with the plan. And he is the good shepherd who takes the broken sheep and puts it around his neck. He is the good shepherd who takes the sheep with the leprosy, and he says, be thou healed. And immediately he was healed. And Jesus said unto the person, go tell no man, but go your very way and show yourself to the priest and make an offering, the gift that Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. So we see that Jesus not only healed them, but he said, go do the right thing. Show yourself to the priest and say that you've been healed, and make a gift that Moses commanded. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, this is his own town, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. The centurion was a Roman Gentile. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, but mainly his job is to seek and save the Jews. And so the centurion came up to Jesus, and he said, Lord, My servant lies home with a palsy. He is grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Listen to this centurion. This always amazes me. I've read this so many times, and it always amazes me, because the pagan centurion has more faith than the Jewish people. The pagan centurion has more faith than the Christian people. Listen, I will come down and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, no. I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but just speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. You know, the centurion knew that he had power in another realm. He had power in another realm. The centurion knew that he had power in another realm. And if he said to one person, go, he would go. If he said to another person, come, he would come. The centurion realizes that Jesus has another kind of power. You don't have to come to my house. The only thing you need to do is speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. And also, the centurion says that because he does not want Jesus. He does not want Jesus to be looked at askance by the Pharisees, because if he went into the house of a Gentile, he would become unclean according to the law of Moses. I tell you, this centurion has more faith than most of us. He realized that he had power. He had a certain amount of power, but he also realized that Jesus had a spiritual power. Don't come down to my house. You don't need to. The only thing you need to do is to speak the word, and my servant will be healed. That's all you need to do, is to speak the word, and my servant will be healed. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. I say to this soldier, go, and he goes. To another soldier, come, and he comes. To my servant, do this, and he does it. And Jesus, when he heard this, marveled and said to them, verily, verily, I say to you, truly, truly, I say to you, amen, amen, I say to you, I have never found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I tell you, no, not in the church either. I tell you, this pagan man knew that Jesus had an authority with God. This pagan man knew that Jesus Christ need only speak the word, because his authority was with God. And Jesus was so delighted. He was so delighted that this man showed forth a faith that Israel didn't show. That this man showed forth a faith not only that Israel didn't show, but I tell you, that the church doesn't show. That the church doesn't show. I told the story about Father Arthur. I love that story. I love that story. I know I told it last week or 2 weeks ago. You see, we don't realize we have authority. And if you don't know you have authority, then someone else will steal your authority. If you don't exercise your authority, then someone else will steal your authority. Today, Gregory came to the house to prepare the chicken for the people out in the street. I didn't have to say to Gregory, okay, Gregory, today is your day. You prepare the chicken for the people out in the street. No, he knew that this is his day, that Friday is the day that he comes. He didn't need me to tell him to fix the chicken, because he knew that he had come to do that. So I didn't have to say anything to him, because he knew that was his job, and that this is why he comes on a Friday, to prepare 120 pounds of chicken legs for the people out in the street on Saturday. This centurion knew that he had authority with people. He had authority with soldiers, and he knew that Jesus had an authority with God. Jesus is the authority. Remember, all authority and on heaven and on earth has been given to me, he'll say in another place. But Father Arthur, a Polish priest, a woman came with a very sick child, and she came to the priest and said, "Heal my daughter. She's very sick. No one can fix her." Father Arthur said, "How can I heal your daughter?" She put the baby in the priest's arms and said, "Heal my daughter." And so Father Arthur began to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He prayed the prayer of the disciple. The next day the lady came back and said, "My child is healed. I want to thank you." It changed his whole life. He realized he had authority to pray. He realized that God had given him authority, and if it wasn't for that lady, he would still think that he had no authority. You know, it is not humility to think that I have no authority. Everything I have comes from God. It is not humility to think that I can't do this because I'm a sinner. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ came to seek and save that which was lost. He came to seek and save Matthew, the tax collector. He came to seek and save the friends of Matthew. He came to seek and save them as the good shepherd. I tell you, God has given you a degree of authority. But if you do not use it, you will lose it. It's like people who build their bodies. If they don't continue to build their bodies and exercise, they lose it. It's also like people who learn a language. If you don't use the language, you lose the language. God has given each one of us through Christ authority. Authority. We cannot do anything on our own, but Jesus Christ can do it through us. Today I received a call from a man whose leg has really been eaten up by bacteria. And so I've been praying for this man. His name is Tom. And he called me and said that he was breathing better and that he had less pain. But no, I want more for Tom. I want the very source of that leg to be healed in the name of Jesus. That's what I prayed. The very source of the sickness in the leg to be healed in the name of Jesus. In the holy, awesome name of Jesus. Let me tell you, God has given us authority. And if we do not use the authority for the kingdom of God and for the greater glory of God, we lose it. We lose it. People don't realize. You know, when I see priests marching in a procession, let's say there's 70 priests, you know what I say? There is so much power in these 70 priests, and I bet hardly any of them know that God has given them authority to heal the sick. God has given them authority to cast out demons. God has given them authority to preach the gospel with conviction. You know, I look and I say, "My Lord, look at all those priests, all the power that's there potentially. But you see, you don't see the power unless you use it, unless you step out in, and the word is faith, step out in faith and you start to use that authority for the glory of God, not for your own glory, because you can't do very much on your own anyway. But the glory of God, that's why, you know, and for the blessing of people. We want to do things for the glory of God and to bless people. Jesus did that healing to that leper because he felt sorry for him. He had compassion for him, and he healed that man. And the centurion realized that he had authority and Jesus had another authority. And it says here, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them, Amen, amen, I say to you, I have not found so much faith in all of Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, that means the Gentiles, and shall sit down with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go your way, for your faith has done this. And his servant was healed in the same hour that Jesus spoke. The same hour that Jesus spoke. I remember 100 years ago, it wasn't 100 years ago because I'm not 100, but it was so long ago, that I was praying with Father Bill for Mariana Reynolds. And we'll say it was a Tuesday evening. And I was praying that Mariana Reynolds would receive the gift of tongues. And so we agreed in prayer that Mariana Reynolds would receive the gift of tongues. And you know what? She didn't even know we were praying. But that Tuesday, she started to praise God in another language. She started to praise God in another language. And I'm going to tell you, if God has given you the gift of speaking in tongues, praying in the Spirit, use it every day. Use it every day. Don't wait to go to a prayer meeting to use it. Use it every day in your devotions. Use it so you won't lose it. Use it so you won't lose it. Please, it is a powerful prayer. And you know, everyone who has been praying in the Spirit, today I ask you to pray 3 minutes for me in the Spirit. Say, this is for Father Tom. And you start praying. You just pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Use that gift that the Lord has given you. It is a gift. Some people say, you know, it is the least of the gifts. I don't care if it's the least of anything. It is a gift. And St. Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. I speak in tongues more than anybody else. So in your private devotions, you pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. And if you don't want to pray for yourself, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray in the Spirit if you're desperate today. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. If you're desperate today, pray for yourself in the Holy Spirit. Pray in tongues. It is a great gift. It builds us up. It is a great gift. It is a great gift. I am not telling you that we should not love people. Of course, love is the greatest of everything. It's the way every gift should be used. We should use the gift in love. But it is a gift that God has given you. Don't let it lie dormant. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. And if you don't, you'll lose it. Pray in the Holy Ghost. And I ask you to pray for me. Okay. This was the 8th and the 9th chapter of St. Matthew. I want you to open your Bibles today and read the 8th and 9th chapter of St. Matthew. It's like the 8th chapter is like a day in the life of Jesus. A day in the life of Jesus. Oh yes, multitude followed him. He healed them all who came to him. Multitudes followed him, and he healed them all who came to him. Today, I ask you to turn to Jesus. He will heal you. He will bless you. Does that mean you don't need a doctor? No. You need the doctor. But Jesus is the healer, whether he works through the doctor or through the medicine or through laying on of hands. Jesus Christ is the healer. He is the healer. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the word of God. I'm speaking to people in Idaho. I'm speaking to people in Washington, D.C. I'm speaking to people in St. Louis, Missouri. I'm speaking to people in Arizona. I'm speaking to people in Boston, in Chicopee, in Hartford, in Agawam. I need to hear from you so we can pay our bills. The mailing address is Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Your gifts are tax deductible. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And whatever you do, do it in the name of Jesus. I ask you to turn to the Lord and ask the Lord, do you want me to give to this ministry? And if he says yes, ask him how much. He might say $3. You know what I'm saying? You do what the Lord tells you to. Mary says, do whatever my son tells you to do. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. All glory be to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. All glory be to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Pray today that children's lives would be spared from abortion. Pray today that children's lives would be spared from abortion. All glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Jesus Christ, Son of God, you healed that leper. I ask you in the name of Jesus, Father, that you would heal the sick, no matter where they are sick. You would heal them now in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.